Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. It's going to be an adventurous day for us. We are getting a new board. Woo! A new board in the KMOX studio. And so we're in a smaller studio, sort of a side studio. And I just ask Rach, how do I know when I'm on the air? And she goes, that janky light comes on. And there's a light that seems to be covered with a shower cap. So, yeah. Right on.
I asked if it was a fire hazard, and I was told that it's an LED light, so there's no heat, so it's not a fire. But I saw a lamp with a bag over it, and I'm like, that seems...
It's not that hot.
It's not
so
that hot.
It sounds weird here to us. When I breathe, I can really hear it.
Dave's like, yeah. Dave's all Darth Vader.
So
he was crazy.
Somebody leave us a message at odyssey.com and let us know how it sounds.
So I don't think that's working.
That's down.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Down. That's broken company.
That's a different janky light that has to come on? Okay, well, fine.
Yeah, when this turns green, you'll know.
You can text us. I got the text line up. You can 314-436-7900.
Yeah, let us know if it sounds normal.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, just don't even bother texting.
Yeah. I mean, we can't do anything.
That's
going to
just take us right out. I do like the room better, though. It's more like a big round table, and I've always liked that. It's always nice.
Hey, look at that. If we could reach out and touch fingers. Look at that.
There you go. Super friends.
We're buddies.
That was cute.
Julie Lally let me know that we pissed off a bunch of women the other day.
We did. Uh-oh.
When we talked about the double errand day.
Yeah.
That when we can get two. It really made me laugh. She's like, yeah. She's like, she loves us and she listens all the time. She podcasts, so she'll hear this tomorrow. But she texted me this morning and she said, oh my God, did you piss off a bunch of my girlfriends? Because the men were talking about how, man, when we get two things done in a day, we feel like rock stars.
Yeah.
And Julie's like, I do 11 things in the morning.
Yeah. Well, you wonder how many things like that we say, because we are very spoiled to have this job too. Like, not to pick on Wheels, but when Wheels is like, I had to get up at 7. It's like, well, that's like most people's reality. You know what I mean? Like,
it was hard.
Well, no, I think the whole point is we're acknowledging our ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do feel like when Kevin talks about how he's so unhappy that he had to wake up at 9 in the morning or whatever, he acknowledges, like, but... You know, that's just a me thing.
We got a couple texts, Dave. You want the little feedback or not?
If they're good.
The first one says, you guys sound the same to me as yesterday. And then the second one says, it sounds like you're in a box that has the flaps closed. Literally came in at the same time.
Okay. So either the first person's being really nice or the second person has terrible hearing problems and should probably go to an audiologist.
Oh, no.
A little bit.
I guess we got to talk, huh?
Well, yeah. It feels like we're yelling into a cave that's inside of another cave.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Like.
It kind of does. That's okay. I think my favorite studio of all time, back in the early aughts, they would send us down to Disney to do the show. And it was really cool, and it was a really great studio, and they had craft services, like we were shooting a movie, and they had, like, sandwiches and, like, you know, ice cream and all this stuff. And I came back, my dumb ass, I'd been doing the show for like 2 years, which I've always said is when talent is at its worst. If you can survive 2 years in a show, you start thinking you're God's gift. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I was dissuaded of that about a year after that. And then I was just really happy and thankful to have a job on the radio. But for those, you know, that third year, I was a menace. And I came back from Disney and I told Jeff Allen, I want craft services on the show every day. And he's like, I'm sorry, what's a craft service? I'm like, you know, like cold cuts and dollar sandwiches. And I've never made anyone laugh that hard. He just, like, fell back in his chair, and he was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to tell John Beck this one.
Oh, that's great.
Gulliver wants a buffet every day.
How great would that be, though?
It was pretty cool.
That would be so good.
It was pretty fun. And a window that looks out on Disney.
Yeah.
The best people watching of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Although, this isn't bad people watching.
There's
a little view of the world.
Where are the people?
When there are people... They can be watched.
I'm sorry I'm not talking. I can't get the mic close enough because look what happens when I do this.
It springs back.
Does it spring back?
No, but it's just like moving the monitor. I'm sorry. It's just... I'm a little stressed. It is a little stressful for the person running the board. I'll just throw that out there for everyone to know.
It's a lot worse on Rage.
We're over here doing nothing but talking. We're like, oh, this is
weird. I'm sweating right
it's
now.
It's probably really bad on the engineer that had to fix that light, so. where are you going to find a pink bag?
You know how hard they had to look for this zip tie?
Can Fred Harris in there?
I don't think he's listening to us.
Oh, thanks,
I think
Fred.
He has a way of listening, but
thanks for nothing,
he's choosing
Fred.
Not to. Which I don't blame him.
Fred's no fan.
Fred's trying really hard not to make eye contact.
Yeah, all four of us are staring at him in the window. He's like, just don't look up. Just don't look up.
And sing the word Fred.
Well,
hey, there you go.
I was going to wave at him, but I don't want him to think we need something.
Right.
He comes running in. I'm in there trying to work. What are you doing? You know how when you think about your heartbeat, it freaks you out, at least for me. Or if I think about blinking, all I do is blink for about an hour. Today, Rach and I had a big breakfast, and I, for some odd reason, wanted to know how long it would take to get out of my stomach, so I Googled it. By the way, it's 4 hours, and it said within 4 hours, it'll be in your small intestine, and I couldn't stop thinking about that. Like, I know I've got all that here. Mm-hmm. You know, beneath my ripped abs, but I don't like to think about any sort of bodily functions like that.
Yeah,
because then I get really caught up in, well, how's it going to get to the large intestine?
You know what I think is so sad? There's that saying that, like, when Elvis passed, he had all those pounds of waste going on.
Yeah.
What a terrible way to go, where everyone's like, you know, you had a bunch of poop. Like, that's like, why did anyone share that fact with anyone else?
First of all, the poor guy died in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, that's, although, if I gotta go, that's my happiest place.
Yeah, I mean,
for real.
It's, like, where I spend the most time, so statistically.
Preferred way to go would be surrounded by family holding my hand. Mm-hmm. The first one would be on the toilet.
On the toilet.
I'm slightly happier there than with my family. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Elvis kind of got done dirty there.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. And, you know, I'm the one bringing it up, so that's on me, but it's a well-known thing.
What if it was his wish? Like, what if it was in his will?
Like, what if he was like,
make sure you talk about me on the toilet.
I think we've all got that, though. We probably don't have 42 pounds worth, but...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I thought about it because I saw like a diagram of that the other day. Like,
of Elvis's colon?
Well, what it looks like when you're like constipated and in your colon or whatever.
Hey, Steve Moore.
And well, I'm just saying, it's like, I can't think about all that in there.
I really like, set him up. I'm like, Elvis, colon, poop, little small intestine. And Andrew's like, I saw a diagram. I'm like, you're so gross.
What's wrong with you?
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, like, I don't like to think about, which is so funny, because I don't drink any drink that's not, like, bright purple.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't want all those toxins in my body.
Something tells me the purple drink moves it right through you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like a cleaning solution.
Yeah. It's like drinking bleach every day.
Most of the things I eat, my body is actively rejecting.
Oh,
like,
man.
We cannot have this hanging around in here.
Hey, I got my Nutrigen report today from Dr. Maupin. The last genetic report I got was not great because I have the genetic marker for Alzheimer's. Fantastic. But she said it is the best genetic report she's seen yet. How about
That's
that?
Great. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I didn't know that they were...
Now watch Wheeler's going to top me once he does his.
There's no chance.
I didn't know they were contacting all of us to... Because I didn't know there was like follow-ups that we had to do with the Nutrigen
stuff.
You know,
you just swabbed yourself and that was it?
Yeah, that was just it. They just wanted my data. And then so I panicked and I actually texted Rach about this when I... Because they reached out and they were like, we really need to talk to you about your test results. Like, when can you do like the consultation?
What time today can you do it?
And I was like, did they ask you this? Because... you know there's something crazy in mine. you know, I don't know what it's going to be, but you know there's something where they're like, we've never seen this before. We think it's bad.
Yeah, under glucose, it's just going to say Sprite.
his blood is carbonated. We've never seen anything like it. When we prick his finger,
it's
it goes
full of bubbles.
It sounds like when you crack a soda.
When they try to take your blood.
Sounds like opening a soda can.
I have a kind of a weird ruling. So I'm not going to tell you my dream because everyone hates hearing everyone else's dreams. Isn't that terrible when you do that? Oh, thank you, Rach. I can see your face now. Mm-hmm. When the closest people to you, it's like, oh, my God, I had the most amazing dream I've ever had in my life last night. And you just immediately want to stick something in your eye, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm like that, but then I think everyone wants to hear about my dream. Anyway, here's my question. So I had a dream, incredibly detailed, very good dream. It wasn't a nightmare or anything. Would you consider that an experience? Did I have an experience?
Yes.
Because it's all in my brain. It didn't actually happen. It's just like thought. Are thoughts an experience? Are dreams an experience? Or is it something, is it a different animal?
Thoughts are not, dreams are. My reasoning being, thoughts are voluntary. You can choose whether or not to keep a thought in your head. You can't choose what you dream about. Can't choose what your brain's going to throw at you while you're dreaming. So I think dreams do count, thoughts do not.
What do you think?
I don't think it counts as an experience. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm fine. I'm fine with dreams not being an experience because most of mine are not great. So
yeah, I'd have to go no just because to me the experience is the conscious part or the conscience part. You're aware of what's going on while it's happening. That's the experience.
What would you call it? Just a bodily function?
No, I mean, it's something because it can influence people's moods when they wake up. It can give you an idea. Like the other day, I had a weird dream that I was at a Slipknot show with my dad and two old uncles, and we're just like, hey. But then it made that when I woke up, I had this desire to listen to the music. That was the day I wore the shirt. Like, I think those dreams can influence what you're going to do and what you're going to think about during the day.
So if something can influence you, how's it not an experience?
Well, I guess the way I would define experience is going through something. Like you're actually doing it, seeing it, experiencing it, and registering it.
It's an interesting question.
Yeah, I know it is. It's fascinating.
Very much.
Well, would you think, okay, if you read a book about something, does that mean you did that thing?
Also an interesting
take. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Because it's like you're having that.
Although if you read a book and you tell me, Dave, I just read the best book of my life, you have to read it, you're sharing an experience.
The book
right.
is the
even
experience.
Though nothing happened.
Correct,
right.
But if I read a book about mountain climbing, that doesn't mean that I just climbed a mountain.
Climbing.
Like,
yeah.
No matter how much I'm getting it, even if it's like, you know, a narrator and I'm totally in their head and along with them every step, it's like I didn't actually
Although
do it, though.
I do, this is getting a little more into dreams, but I feel like I know what it feels like to be stabbed. I feel like I know what it feels like to jump off a building. You know, don't you guys agree with that?
I've never had a dream that I've been stabbed, but yeah, like falling.
Really?
I have dreams where I fall all the time.
No, but I do.
God, I'm a freak.
I do feel like I know what it feels like to fall like a great distance.
Dude, I get stabbed.
I think the funniest I've probably
I've been
like
shot
3 feet.
My dreams, yeah, but never stabbed.
Yeah.
And then falling off stuff, that happens a lot.
Yeah, falling dreams are pretty normal.
And you just, I don't know, because I've hit the ground a lot when I fall.
Oh, really?
And typically I wake up a little bit, like I'll see my room, and then I'll go back into it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I get weird ones where you're like, it's like, almost like you're going over a waterfall, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, this isn't supposed to happen, and then you're like, wait a minute, and then you just wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had those too. Where, like, right as I'm getting stabbed, I'm like, oh, thank God this isn't real.
Oh, this isn't supposed to happen.
Oh, man.
Down in my life, when I really do get stabbed, I'll be like, this is nothing like my dream. It hurts so much worse. Stop
it
stabbing
hurts.
Me.
I didn't expect that.
Welcome back, guys. GGS, happy Friday to you. This promises to be the least professional show we've ever done, which is saying something. I just literally said to the guys right before the music started, is there a clock in here? Like, I mean, here's the thing. There are two clocks, like sweeping hand clocks. What do you call these?
Regular
clocks?
Regular analog? Are they analog? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, they're a clock with a face.
Just call them dumb clocks.
But I can't read those for this purpose.
Oh, right, right.
Like,
right.
I can look over there and go like, it's about 127.
It's not synced up to the second like we do.
Yeah. Because we have to, like Rachel say, like be out at 155:30. So a regular clock is useless.
Yeah, this one is
what
also
a weird job we have.
Like universal clock that's synced up, so it's satellite synced.
You think they're even teaching the kids how to tell time on these here clocks?
I mean, they're not teaching them cursive.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lost art. I'm going to be an old, wizened, 129-year-old man who just they bring out once a year to tell what the time is.
Will it be like, will the cursive be like calligraphy is now? Like nobody
like
can
Sanskrit.
Do it?
It'll be like Sanskrit.
Like, that's so fancy.
Yeah.
Not to be a negative Nelly, but there really shouldn't be two of those clocks in this room. Like, because you're right. Those aren't a good way to, like, tell time for the purposes
of... perfect way if you want to know whether it's lunchtime or not. But it's not a great way to...
But this is like an air...
They are synced up, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're at the same time.
Impressive.
Yeah. Good job, whoever.
Good job, whoever. You done it.
I did something today, which I think is sort of an analogy for life. I'm on TikTok. If you're on TikTok, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When they give you a video, you can hold it down and push the not interested button. And so today, for about 20 minutes, I just did that. And I was saying no to everything. And, you know, because I'm getting a lot of baby taekwondo. And I just feel like if I'm going to prison, that's what it's for. And I don't want to be a convict who's in for baby taekwondo. That can't be good for joining a gang. And I thought to myself, that's probably pretty important in life, is being able to go through and just delete stuff. Right? Just go like, that, not good for me, not serving me, don't think I want to do this. Boom.
Well, you wonder how much of our lives we live on autopilot and we just take what is in front of us.
What TikTok gives us, what life gives us. Right. Yeah. There's like all of life is just kind of like a for you page. Like, oh, you'll like this. And you go, well, life thinks I'm going to like this. So I guess I better learn how to like this thing.
The for
so,
you page.
Apropos of that, you're all fired.
Oh, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah, you guys took it really hard.
All right, Dave, come over here and run the board.
Yeah. We should do that. Oh, my Lord, we should do that.
Seriously, how bad would it be if you had to go over there?
I mean, I don't know what one button is.
No?
Not
I
one.
I think you could... Now, not saying that you should fire us all, but I think you could probably... You could
well,
probably
I mean, I
it.
Can learn things. I'm not a monkey, but...
A monkey. Why did you say it like that?
It just felt right.
It was very right.
I mean, since monkeys can learn things, I would think that I'm just a really smart monkey.
Oh, my God. Isn't it great when the dumbest things are that funny?
Thank God. It's putting Phoebe through college. And she's still got law school to go, so you better keep thinking monkey is hilarious. We're having fun with the text. I guess we've had this forever,
yeah.
But we've never used it. But we don't really have access to phones because Fred Bottomer's ass is sitting in that room. So you can text us at 314-436-7900. Just, you know, about the show, about the way it sounds, whatever. I think because we're getting, it sounds great. It's never sounded better. It's crystal clear. You sound like you're at the bottom of the ocean inside the Titanic. Yeah. So I Wheels brought up, I think it's probably what the way you're listening.
Maybe, yeah.
It's your fault, basically, is what we're trying to say. You're a bunch of dumb monkeys.
If you did it right, you wouldn't be having that problem. So
yeah.
Just know it's on you.
You're failing at listening.
Yeah. This is a you problem.
This one says, you sound like you're in a tin can, but Dave sounds fantastic.
Hey!
Oh, you know what's really cool, you guys? There's a 30-second difference between the board and the screen.
Yeah.
So I don't know what time we're supposed to be going by.
All right! Now it's coming together. Now we're...
Hey, everybody, hands
now
up!
Now we're screwing some stuff up.
Well, it's 1:27, according to my phone.
Right, but what? And what? How many seconds?
Oh, I don't know.
I just saw Wheeler's bell.
It's 1:28 right now.
Okay. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. We are coming to you from the Studio A. No, Studio C. There you go. Why isn't the main studio Studio A? Who screwed that up?
That's a great question.
Yeah, because the little dinky one, Studio A.
The little tiny one.
And then
where
the big
Michael
one, Studio B. Just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I don't know if they were necessarily named in the way that we're thinking of it as far as, like, you know.
Importance.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because that one kind of starts
the
string.
That's why you
don't
let engineers name things. Let the creatives do it. It should be the Dave Glover Studio.
Studio DG.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
No, really, like call the Charlie Brennan Studio or something like that, or, you know, some, you know.
Bob Hyland.
Bob Hyland, yeah. People are saying that we should do all future shows from this room because we sound like we're drunk.
It's amazing how much being in a different room like switches up the energy.
I'm telling you, it's like
of the show.
I talk about it a lot when I was a kid, and I liked my dad. Don't get me wrong, but my dad was a dad. He was like a hard hat wearing, lunchbox carrying Joe, and he didn't suffer fools, and I was a fool, as you can imagine. And I mean, imagine like an 11-year-old version of this, right? And when my dad once a month would go to his union meeting. It was a party. Like, my mom and I would have banquet TV dinners with fried chicken and chocolate pudding, and we'd watch different shows, and it was just, like, different.
Yeah.
It's like having a sleepover or something like that, and that's how this feels. It's like, it doesn't feel real. Like, this doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's not a real show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a throwaway show. On a Friday, in a different room that sounds like a big box. I do have something I want to talk about, though, that's kind of serious. Mm-hmm. After the election, Andrew was saying that he thought that the Democrats lost because they didn't go far enough.
Yep.
They tried too much to pander to the Liz Cheney Republicans, and they lost basically themselves. By trying to be too many things to too many people. And so I'm going to use the word woke. I know it's an out of favor term, but it's just the one that resonates in my mind with, like, your little boy's going to go to school and come home a little girl with a vagina, like that kind of stuff. That to me is like the woke stuff. How is your paradigm different, if it is, from the wokeness?
I wouldn't describe myself as woke, necessarily. I would describe myself as, like, maybe a little more radically accepting than a lot of people who would vote in, like, the middle of the or the right. You know what I mean? I would describe myself as a lot more like, whatever weird thing you got going on, I have no problem with it. Even if I don't, like, understand it necessarily.
Would you say I'm like that, and you don't have to worry about catering to me?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I would. You were, before a lot of the country was, and I've always given you credit for this, you were fine with transgender people. You had no problem with, like, you know, gay people, gay marriage, any of that.
Where do we separate, when you had, do you think?
Like where the line is?
Yeah. Like, where do you think that I would go, like, I'm out?
Maybe when it comes to, like, I don't care if an 11-year-old little boy is like, no, actually, I'm pretty sure I'm a little girl. I just, I don't feel like a boy. I think I might be a girl. I have no problem with them pursuing that or that being pursued.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you do. We've never talked about that. But mm-hmm. That's a line that I know that a lot of people would draw.
And I would say,
also, when it comes to the sports thing, I don't care if trans women play sports against cis women. There are many, many, many cases of cis. And Amy and I have had this argument many, yeah. many times where... the way that Amy tends to frame it puts no agency on the cis women in the situation. There are many, many instances of a cis woman beating a trans woman in a competition of some kind. It's not just an automatic given that if a trans woman competes in a sport against cis women, she's going to completely dominate them. And so I think, you know, be better.
It's an interesting thing for a man to say, I think. I mean, I'm not going to get into it. I don't understand the science behind it. I like to lean back on this topic until there's more, you know, scientific evidence behind any. But I mean, to say, like, to Amy, who is an athlete, like, be better. Like, do you see how that's condescending?
I think the way that she talks is condescending.
Well,
so
she's not here, so maybe we should leave her out of the discussion.
I'll leave her out of it.
But I think it's
saying.
Interesting for a cisgendered man to be like, you just need to be better. It's like, well, you're operating within your biological limitations there. Like, I just think that's kind of like a, maybe just reevaluate the way you're approaching that.
We found Rachel's line.
So, well, yeah, that's good.
My line is having a guy say, like, you just need to be tougher and stronger. Like, I find that incredibly
condescending. When you're competing with biologic males.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't mean
to upset you. It seems that no, it's fine. We're discussing.
We're just talking.
So it seems that you give more importance is the wrong word. It's a lazy word, but more concern for the transgender person than the cisgender person. Is that because they are more rare, more marginalized, more in need of help?
Yeah, I think you could make that argument. I wouldn't say that a cisgendered woman is not in a marginalized situation in a lot of cases. But I think trans women are right there along with them. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. And I don't want anyone listening to think like, oh, Rachel has some sort of problem with trans women. Not at all. Like, I believe... What?
No, I'm saying no. I know you very well. I know you don't have any kind of problem like that.
But it's like... Sports is just kind of a different category than real life. Like, real life is like, trans women should be accepted as women. They should be supported. They should have resources. Like, I don't want them to feel marginalized in any way. Sports is kind of like a special thing. Like Wheels says, like, you have to, like, try out to be on a sports team, and there are limitations that come with that. Like, I do feel like this is a separate category and worthy of taking a second look and taking a look at the science.
This may be a really stupid question, so I'm acknowledging that up front. But what, Andrew, in your mind, would be the difference between a cisgender person, woman, competing against a transgender woman who is a biologic male, as opposed to a weaker, smaller, less strong, less fast, less athletic man competing against other men? Like, they're both at a disadvantage. Like, should the weaker, slower, less athletic man get a leg up against bigger, stronger men?
I'm not sure there is always a difference. Maybe there is sometimes a difference, you know, between, like, a trans woman competing against cis women. But a lot of times, like I said, a lot of times there are instances where they just, you know, I was, there's this runner named Riley Gaines that I've heard very much about. Riley is very active. She's very an activist against...
I think she's a swimmer.
Is she a swimmer? Okay.
I think so.
Activist against trans women in sports. And there's one instance that she always calls out and is like, I felt like I could not physically beat this trans woman at this event. I was at such a disadvantage. They both tied for fifth place behind four other cis women. Right? So there were four cis women who were able to overcome the impossible biological advantage of defeating this trans woman. And that's where it leads me to go, like, oh, well, maybe you just weren't the best at that event.
What about, and this whole thing started for the listeners, where I said, Andrew had said after the election that the Democrats, one of the reasons that they lost is because they tried too hard to be the Diet Coke of Republicans, and that they should have just been the full Coke of Democrats. And so I'm trying, and to me, the thing I have against Democrats is the whole woke thing. And again, I apologize for that word. I know that it's kind of triggering and it's kind of amorphous at this point and means something different to everyone. But just the whole, like, the most important people are the most marginalized. I'm not sure I agree with that. It's going to sound, well, I'll just say it. I believe in equality. I don't believe that anyone should be at a disadvantage because of who or what they are. I do think that segments of society deserve special advantages to kind of even things up. But I don't like the whole, there can't be a television commercial featuring two white people in a couple.
Right.
That feels engineered to me. And I don't like things that are engineered being foisted upon me.
The new term for that that's been going around is an acronym DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. That's been like, that's kind of the new, for in good or bad instances, both, that's like the new buzzword that people are using, which is essentially, like consultants, for example, there's DEI consulting companies. So like you're making a commercial for Kellogg's breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
And you bring in the DEI consultant, and the DEI consultant says, "Well, what if it's two? What if it's two married women eating cereal instead of like, you know, a guy and a girl or whatever?" And a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people.
Do you not like it, or are you fine with it?
I mean, I when it's a little too ham-fisted, I roll my eyes at it because it's like, okay, yeah, we all see what you're doing here. You know, kind of like you always say when things are a bit too obvious,
yeah.
Right? I don't have a problem with it, but it can be hard not to roll your eyes at when you see it so big and bright.
How does that stuff hit you, Rach?
Nobody minds.
That kind of stuff doesn't bother me whenever it's like, you see a commercial and it's like, oh, this probably was engineered in some way. It doesn't matter to me at all because it's just a commercial. Like, you know what I mean?
That's a good point, too.
Like, I'm just like, all right, it's cornflakes.
But I get that and I respect that. And I think it's probably the differences in our age because I'm as close to my dad as I am to you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm as close to an 80-year-old. I'm closer to an 80-year-old than mm-hmm. I am to your age. And so I grew up swimming in that soup. And so I'm proud of myself that I have, I would call it evolved, farther away from that than I would expect. You know, coming from small town Illinois and, you know, raised by Jack and Francis. And, you know, so, but I'm still not as far as you guys. And I shouldn't be. It would be a little weird and kind of creepy sometimes if that were the case. Musical taste and you know, politics and things like that. But I was just curious, like, where you and I would disagree when it comes to things like that. And put away, like, the trans or the DEI. Does anything else jump out to you as far as you wish the Democrats would have, like, doubled down more on X, Y, and Z?
I see something that drives me from, I guess, what you might call woke culture. And it drove my wife from it, too. My wife was getting becoming very active and, like, you know, activism things, going to a lot of protests, things like that. She was finding her passion, doing things like that. And she still does have a passion for those things. But she was driven out by what a lot of those in the woke culture side of the left will say will do, which is just constant nonstop purity testing of how woke you are about
an
issue.
Woke scold.
A woke scold, precisely.
Somebody, flush that out.
So that would mean like
nothing you do is good enough. Nothing you do is woke enough.
Yeah. Yes. If you were like, I have, absolutely no problem when it's like two girls kissing on the Kellogg's commercial, and then somebody else is like, oh, but if it was two black girls kissing, you'd have kind of a problem with it. I'm more constantly trying to
like
prove
a competition.
Yeah, I'm more woke than you, and if you can't match me on my woke level, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And that's part of what has driven people so far from it. It's part of what has given that quote unquote, you know, woke word such a bad name is the woke scolds, the people who were, if you're not exactly as woke as I am on anything, I refuse to be accepting or understanding towards you in any way. I'm just going to be like,
it's so sad. I recently had a really good friend of mine say that they probably weren't going to go to any more holiday events with their family because they're very MAGA and may not even be hugging them. And
that's
it was just like, and this is a very normal, loving person. And it's just so, I can't judge another person or their opinions or their feelings or their reactions to the election. But it's just, it's sad. I remember when Trump first took office, or maybe even before, there was a story out that a man and a woman got a divorce over Trump. And I remember making fun of it on the air and being like, because I thought it was a one-off. I just thought, oh, these are the craziest people. And now we're very much swimming in those waters where normal people are cutting people off from their lives.
If you were on social media, you would see so much of that. Like that,
lots of unfriending.
Lots of unfriending, lots of cutting out of lives, lots of like people on both sides, like maybe like the younger left children, but also the older MAGA parents that are like, I'm just so worried about Thanksgiving. I just hope everything goes okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about not even showing up because I just don't want fights and I don't want screaming and tears.
Good talk. Welcome back, guys. DGS coming to you from a strange studio with a strange Friday show, but we're having fun. Wheels was just out. He just did an interview with the Sklar Brothers. We're going to play that for you later on in the show. Went well?
They're the best, man. I love those guys. Like, you know, we say friends, like they're legit buddies. Like,
that's great.
I've been to their mom's house and hung out. Like, I know their kids. They're awesome guys.
For the longest time, I thought they were the Hanson brothers from Slapshot. Like when someone would say the Sklar brothers, I'm like, I love those guys. They were hilarious with Paul Newman.
They were playing with the trucks in the hotel. Give me a stinking root beer.
We're getting a ton of texts, which is really nice. We never do this. And there are times, because we don't take a whole bunch of phone calls, there are times I'm like, I'll be straight up honest with you guys. I don't think anyone's listening. And we're getting tons and tons of texts. Can you read the one from the transgender listener?
Yeah, yeah. So we got a text. This is, here we go. It says, I'm in Hot Springs, Arkansas right now on vacation. I live in St. Charles, Missouri, but I've never felt more alienated as a transgender female than I have down here. She says, there's some gas stations I will just not go into. I'm getting a lot of weird looks, and it's so uncomfortable.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
God love you.
Yeah. I mean, it. You know, the
let me say one thing. I don't judge anyone. There could be people, especially younger people, who entertain sexual fluidity or trans for different reasons, right? But for people who say, oh, you're just doing that for attention.
No.
You just want to look cool. You just want to be different. Like, seriously? Are you serious? Come on.
Yeah, nobody's choosing that hard of a path just for kicks.
No. I think it's very brave.
That's why the sports conversation is such a delicate one, because you want transgender individuals to be able to compete. You do. Mm-hmm. But you also don't want to erase everything I say is going to sound wrong.
No, but your intentions are good, though.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like when I was talking about it last segment, for example, I don't want to discount anybody's experience. That includes the cisgendered woman, obviously. I don't want to ruin women's sports forever with the inclusion of trans women. I just, in my heart, and I won't say my mind, because I don't know the science that well. I don't know the facts to a degree where I would be like teaching on them. There has to be a way to incorporate and make everybody happy. There almost always is.
I think you're right. I think it's not an unsolvable problem. But what happens is people either get very defensive as far as like, oh, you have a problem with it. You just need to, like, sorry, not to pick on you, Andrew, but like, just be better. Or it's like, you're going to ruin women's sports forever. There is an in between. We just don't know it yet. There needs to be more studies done. And it's up to, I think you've said this before, Wheels, it's up to these institutions to set rules that make sense for everyone instead of all of us squabbling about it, because we don't really know the science.
And we also have to separate these conversations.
Yeah.
The conversation of how trans men and trans women should be treated is completely
separate from sports,
from the conversation of where you belong in sports.
Absolutely.
Those are not the same. We can treat everybody with the same love and respect and give them the same rights and respect as anyone else.
Man, leave it to Wheels to say it perfectly.
And you know what's crazy, though? It's like in sports, I've actually had to talk about this issue for a decade because it's come up before. Yeah. And there is such a difference in a physical competitive environment between the two types of bodies. That's the part that needs to be solved. The science of it and the fairness of it, not the humanness of it.